This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. For 30 years, TV and radio host Eddie Trunk has been charting the hard rock and heavy metal scene. He shared his love for bands like Metallica, Bon Jovi, and Whitesnake on VH1 Classics' That Metal Show, and over the airwaves with Eddie Trunk Rocks on Q104.3. Now he's releasing the second volume of his book, Essential Hard Rock and Heavy Metal. And this time, focusing on some lesser-known acts. Eddie Trunk, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me, John. Great to be here.
So the first volume required a sequel, eventually. I mean, the first volume gave us, like, the usual suspects, right? Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, Metallica, mm-hmm. Megadeth, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, when you do a first one and you call it Essential Hard Rock and Heavy Metal, you got to make sure you've got Zeppelin and Van Halen and AC/DC and Sabbath and Kiss and Metallica and the monster bands in there, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, and what have you. And being my first ever book, the last one, which came out in 2011, I had no idea that there was such a thing as a space restriction. I had written all these extra bands that I wanted to include, and my editor said, hold on a second, you know, we can't fit all this. And then I was left with some really tough choices to leave out bands that I thought were really important, and some of the more fringe bands that I wanted to focus on a little bit too. So because of the success of Volume 1, it wasn't long after it came out that my publisher started saying, hey, you got another one in you? I said, sure, because I almost started writing it during the first one.
Right, and sometimes this is the more interest. I mean, you know, people who are into the hard rock or heavy metal scene, they know Led Zeppelin, they know Black Sabbath, etc. But to actually sort of turn people on to second and third tier bands, that's an interesting place to be.
Well, my entire career has always been about turning people on to music they may not have heard, or in the case of the big bands, like you mentioned, turning them on to, you know, everybody hears the hits on the radio, mm-hmm. but the deeper tracks, the album tracks, the rare gems in their catalog. It's been kind of fun, and there's already been a push to do a third book that will go even a little bit more deeper than that. But this one just came out, so we got some time.
All right. Now, we've asked you to talk. I mean, as with the book, there are space restrictions on a radio show. So we've asked you to focus on three bands. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Whitesnake, who, as you write in the book, were around forever before they became finally hitmakers here in the States.
Yeah, a lot of people view Whitesnake as an 80s hard rock band. And although they broke through in a big way in America in 1987, the history of that band goes back into the mid-70s. And it's astonishing to me how many people don't even know that their singer and leader, David Coverdale, was in Deep Purple, mm-hmm. a very successful version of Deep Purple. Not the definitive Deep Purple by many people's standards, but a very successful version of the band. And that's where he started. And the other really interesting thing about Whitesnake, which really at its core is a blues hard rock band, is that some of their biggest hits, like one of their biggest hits that everybody knows from that band is Here I Go Again.
Right.
That song was actually, when it became a hit in America in 87, a re-record. They had recorded that in their career earlier on. So the band's
when they
been
were just basically known in the UK.
Yeah. So the band is really essentially an old British blues rock band that's had a ton of people in and out of it. Doing the lineup as I do for each band in my book, it was impossible to do for everybody for Whitesnake. We just didn't have that space. But I find it interesting because the perception of that band here in the U.S. is radically different than it is in Europe, where they've always been known and were much more successful for a much longer period of time before they broke here in a big way.
David Coverdale, of course, is the one constant in the band
Whitesnake. He is Whitesnake.
And here's the song that Eddie Trunk was just mentioning. From 1987, went to number one on the Hot 100, Here I Go Again.
To walk along the Lord's Street. Time.
Number one hit for David Coverdale and his band Whitesnake, Here I Go Again, from the self-titled album of 1987, Whitesnake, one of the bands covered in Eddie Trunk's new book called Essential Hard Rock and Heavy Metal, Volume 2. Eddie is doing a book signing at the Barnes & Noble in Eatontown, New Jersey, on Friday, October 11th at 6 p.m. He's here with us today in the Soundcheck studio. So 30 years you've been doing this. Did it begin as just fandom for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up being just an enormous fan of hard rock music. It was really my only passion and my only great love. A little bit of sports, too, when I was a kid. But I just became consumed with it. The gateway band for me into that world was Kiss. For so many, that was it as a kid. I graduated high school in 82, growing up in the 70s as a kid. Kiss was the game changer for me. And that just got me consumed with this music. Then I got into Aerosmith and Black Sabbath and AC/DC and Van Halen and what have you. So I never was a musician. I can't play a note of anything. And early on when I was in high school, I said, well, what can I do to share my love of these bands with people? So to that end, I worked in a record store for years. I was did some freelance writing, and I did college radio while I was still in high school. So that's where I kind of started to get a little interest in radio. All of the things that I've done, though, John, it's always been about how do I spread my love of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, as a 49-year-old guy married with two kids, I also need to make a living and make sure that I can pay the bills doing it. But it's still that same passion that drives me to do it, yeah.
Well, now, you say in the book that hard rock and heavy metal fans are the most loyal fans in the music world, which, of course, other people can quibble with. But
sure.
Why do you say that?
Well, because I think that I think that once it's kind of in your blood, it's in your blood. And most of the people that I grew up with who are really into this music, they are still into it. I mean, I can't envision a day coming where I still don't want to put on my records I grew up with and love them like I did. And don't get me wrong, other genres of music certainly have very passionate fans loyal fans. But there's something about this community vibe with heavy metal and hard rock. It's almost like us against the world sort of vibe. I think it's been so marginalized by so many people. And I think that a lot of people really don't realize how broad of a fan base it has. When people see me, first thing they say to me is, you don't look like a metal guy. You don't have the hair. You don't have the tattoos. You don't have the piercings. You don't have the jewelry. That's cool. I like that because there are so many people that are heavy metal people you would never know just by looking at them.
Right.
So that's why I think it gets marginalized a little bit.
So this all started for you, you said, with Kiss. They were your gateway band.
The gateway, yeah.
And Kiss is kind of, if we set the band Angel sort of in contrast to Kiss, they both existed in their shadow and kind of, you know, with the specter of Kiss looming over them, right?
Very much so. Angel is a band that people either love or never heard of.
Right.
There's no gray area. and
count me among the latter.
Yeah. And really what it is they're interesting because they're a band that if you grew up in the 70s and you followed the rock magazines, you would think they were as big as Kiss. They were on the cover of all these magazines. They had all the marketing. They had this enormous stage show that the magician Doug Henning worked on with them where they would actually materialize on stage with this illusion effect. They had a super cool logo. You could turn upside down and it would read the same way either way. So they were label mates of Kiss. Mm-hmm. So they were marketed at the same time as Kiss, where Kiss was dark and demonic and flames and black leather. Angel was pretty. They all wore white jumpsuits. They had all these, you know, they were a different thing. Music much more melodic, a lot of keyboards, almost a little bit of a progressive element to it. Mm. But they never broke through. With all this muscle and marketing and everything, they never got over the hump. People who saw them loved them. People who were in the know were in the know. But they broke up around 1980. The last thing anybody ever saw from them is there's a Jodie Foster movie called Foxes, and they appear as the band in that movie. And then that was their swan song. And they had such a huge stage show that they were known for. But the problem was the record sales never followed suit. So they were hemorrhaging money.
Right.
And it just never got over the hump. But it's an interesting band, and a lot of people have asked me about them in the book. It's funny because they're the one the one band everybody's like, well, I got to find out about Angel.
Well, let's find out what they sounded like. This is from their 1978 album, White Hot. The song is called Got Love If You Want It. Band Angel, Got Love If You Want It, from a 1978 record called White Hot, the band getting a shout out in Eddie Trunk's new book called Essential Hard Rock and Heavy Metal, Volume 2. At the end of Volume 1, there was like a kind of a brief addendum of like a bunch of other bands that you couldn't fit in, but at least wanted to name check.
Yes.
That happens in Volume 2 as well. So, it sort of implies that, yes, indeed, there will be a Volume 3.
What's important for me, too, though, when I write the books, is that I want to be able to provide some sort of... some sort of personal story, too. I mean, anybody can go to a Wikipedia page or Google a band and learn about them. I want to be able to provide more than that, a personal anecdote, some things people may not know. So that's important to me whenever I cover some of these bands.
Few of them are sort of more personal than this band Overkill, like you, from New Jersey. And you write at one point in the book that your mom would pull demo tapes out of the mailbox from them that they had left for you.
But I first started seeing them in New Jersey at a place called the Showplace, which is now a strip club in Jersey, but they used to play there. So they quickly became aware of me. I became aware of them. I would see them from time to time, and they would just pester me like crazy to play their records. And again, this is well before the internet and anything like that. So they would people found out where I lived. I was living at home as a kid, you know, doing this radio show on the weekend, and they would come by and put their demo tapes in my parents' mailbox, beep the horn in the summer. The windows would be down. Who the heck is that? You go there, it'd be Overkill demo in there. And then ironically, what happened was years later, they got signed. And then I ended up getting hired for their record label, Megaforce, to work with them, which I ended up doing. And there's a photo of me with them in the book at like a wedding in 1986 or something. So we have a real personal connection there. And I think Overkill, in the world of this sort of metal, which is regarded, considered thrash metal is what they call it, there's four bands they call the Big Four, which is Anthrax, Slayer, Megadeth, Metallica, as the four defining bands of that genre of metal. I've always said, if I expanded that out to the Big Five, I would include Overkill. I think they're a tremendously underrated band in the genre.
The song is called Electric Rattlesnake, and this is recent. This is from their 2000. They're still making music.
They're making new music, and they do it. They still have a record label. They're a very do-it-yourself band. They still tour globally. And for me, this album was my favorite album of last year. I think this is. This is completely different than the previous two things we heard, as you'll see. But it way more aggressive. But I love it.
Overkill is the band from last year's record, The Electric Age.
Electric rattlesnake, more than you can take.
Electric Rattlesnake from the band Overkill from last year's album The Electric Age. There's got to be some headbanging going on to that song.
I grew up going to see those guys at an old club that's no longer there in Brooklyn called L'Amour, which they basically broke out of. And, man, you'd come out of there hot, sweaty, and hurting. So, yeah, it's high-energy stuff.
The book is Eddie Trunk's Essential Hard Rock and Heavy Metal, Volume 2. One thing that's sort of notable by its absence is like the black metal, death metal, you know, the liturgies and Watanes and bands like that. Mm-hmm. So is that not a part of this world?
It certainly is a part of the world of music that we're talking about. It's not a part of my world. And what I tell people all the time is that my name is above the book. It's Eddie Trunk's. It's not, you know, everybody's. Mm-hmm. So it's really just my view on it. Mm-hmm. And personally, I was never into the death metal stuff. I was never into what I call Cookie Monster metal, which is the, you know, really growling. I mean, what you just heard with Overkill is about as heavy and extreme as I get.
Okay.
That I like. And then, but there's stuff way beyond that. As you mentioned, the bands you mentioned, there's death metal, there's black metal, there's progressive, there's a genre now coming out called math metal. There's all different sorts of stuff going on. Metal is a very wide net, but for me, it was always about pretty much straight down the middle, hard rock and heavy metal. And that's really an important point. I always differentiate between the two.
Now, just let me ask you real quickly. The Metallica 3D IMAX concert mm-hmm. movie is coming out. You've already seen it.
I have.
What'd you think?
I thought it was a great concert film. I think it's incredibly well shot. I think it's extremely well mixed. The audio is great to see it in IMAX and all that. The one thing I'll tell people, though, the screening I went to was kind of a media screening, and in some ways the film's slightly marketed to appear more than a concert film. Like there were some people next to me that clearly weren't Metallica fans, and about the fourth song in of ear-splitting volume of Metallica basically just playing, they got up and split. So I'm not saying that it's a bad movie at all. I'm just saying that if you're a metal fan and you're a Metallica fan, you will love it. If you aren't, I don't really think there's anything there for you.
All right, Eddie Trunk's Essential Hard Rock and Heavy Metal, Volume 2. Eddie's doing a book signing at the Barnes & Noble in Eatontown, New Jersey on Friday, October 11th. Eddie Trunk, thanks for being with
us. Thanks so much for having me, John.